I'm glad I know He is precious. I'm glad I know Him tonight. I'm glad He's my Savior. I like what she said. He's my all in all. I'm glad He's everything to me, and He'll never leave me nor forsake me. He said, I'll go with you all the way, even into the end of the world. I'm glad I'll go nowhere. He won't go with me. I'm glad everywhere I go, He'll be with me every step of the way. And I just hope I don't go out too far ahead of Him, or I don't lag too far behind. I hope I walk with Him hand in hand until I cross the finish line. By God's grace and mercy, I will. I don't want to be a stumbling block. I said in the prayer room, I don't want to be one that's just fell off on the wayside and has been or used to be. I hope by the grace of God, I'll continue to fight the fight and keep preaching the gospel. Amen. Until God takes me and relieves me of my duty. I appreciate your prayers, and I know I'm nothing without Him. I believe Paul said, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing, and there's nothing good about me, but it's all about Him. Amen. John 3:30 said, He must increase, but I must decrease. And I believe that's one of the life verses that we should all have, us as a Christian. It's not about me and you, but Him. And let us make sure we put the focus upon Him, the spotlight. We don't need to be in the spotlight. We don't need to be pointing fingers at ourselves, but we need to be pointing fingers to Him, pointing others to Him. But it's good to be saved, and it's good to be in the house of God again. I appreciate the pastor letting me stand and preach. It's always good to go out and preach and God open the doors, but it's just extra special to do it at your home church. Amen. Do it in front of you, and I appreciate your prayers. And as I go out and try to preach, when God opened the doors and when God closed doors, and I'm glad that He does everything right and He does all things well. But I've preached this message before. I don't know if I preached it here or not, but I'm sure some of y'all will let me know if I preached it here or not. I try not to make notes and write down, when some people, whenever they preach, they put, Brother Key, I don't know if you do it, they put down the day and the time and where it was and how long it was and how many people used the altar and what the love offering was. I mean, they take notes on everything. I don't do that. I hardly ever take any notes, and I guess I get that from high school. But, I just let the Lord lead and guide. If God says preach it, I'll preach it. And if He says preach it 100 times, I'll preach it 100 times. And if He says it, preach it 1 time, I'll preach it 1 time. But I preached this message before. I don't know where I preached it. I just know I preached it before. But I told the men in the prayer room, it was an appetizer before. I mean, it was just a little snack or something. But I began thinking on that message, Brother Kenny, and God made it a full-course meal. So He started filling it up and adding meat to the bone. And I'm just excited to see what God's going to do. It helped me. I believe it'll help each one of us if we'd listen. And it might not be what you want to hear, but you know what? It'll help you. Sometimes I go to the doctor and I don't like what I hear. You know, you need to do this, you need to do that and this. And, but if you listen to them, it'll help you. But I appreciate the Lord. Introduction. I'll go ahead and preach a little bit of introduction, then we'll get in with the message. I'll have you stand for the reading of Scripture, if that's all right. But have you ever thought, why do bad things happen? Why do bad things happen to good people? I heard a preacher say, well, let's take the reverse. Why do good things happen to bad people? But you know what? It's untelling. We all know it's by the hands of God. And we know that, every good thing, every good gift cometh down from above. We know that He gives us all things. But as I began thinking all that, you try to live right. I don't know about you, but I try to line my life up. And I try to line my walk, my talk, everything about me. I try to line it up with the Word of God. Amen. I don't know about you, but I believe we should do that. Amen. We should live this book. We should walk this book. We should talk this book. Amen. We should pray this book. We should do everything. Focus our whole life upon the book. Amen. Why? Because that is the Word of God. The Bible, basic instructions before leaving earth. I'm glad that we can put that book in our heart. David said, Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against Thee. Amen. He said, this is our light. It's our roadmap. And I'm glad that we can hide that. But we try to live right. We try to read the Bible. We try to pray. We try to fast. We try to go to church. We try to go to revivals. We try to witness and we try to work. And we do all these things. But then bad things still come our way. Brother Key, things just so happen. Things just come in our life. And I mean, they take us by surprise. We didn't plan on those things happening. We didn't want those things to happen. If it could have been our way, we would have just pushed those on away. But those things just happen in our life. They come out of nowhere. They just come by surprise. And one day they're not there. And then we wake up and they're there. Those things happen. Whether it's sickness, I know the word cancer, we hear that a lot of times. And I believe, Brother Tim, how many did you say? 15 people? 15 people are dealing with that now. I heard that before, but you know what? God took away, just like He took your cancer. I honestly believe God took it away from me. You say, well, preacher, why does God do that? I don't understand, but we know one thing. I believe David Gibbs preached the message, Brother Steve or Brother Key, one of y'all told me that about his testimony about his mother. He does all things well. I'm glad He does all things well. And I don't know why God does that. He's no respecter of person. What He done for one, He'll do for another. Right. What He's done for me, He'll do for you. Right. But you know what? He does everything. We know it's going to work out to the good, but those bad things come our way. We try to read, we try to pray, we try to fast, we try to go to church, we try to be a witness, we work, we wait, we do all those things because we're commanded to do it. But yet those things just come our way. Whether it be a divorce, whether it be a sickness, whether it be a disease, whether it be a death. I know we had several people that laid to rest, a mom or a dad or a husband, a wife, brother, sister, whatever it is. I know we have sorrow in our families. Things happen. Maybe it's you got laid off from work. You went to work. You never called in sick. You was there every day of the week. I mean, you put so many years into company just to have them say, "I'm sorry," you just walk away. I mean, all these things happen, and no doubt you're sitting there scratching your head saying, "I just don't understand. Here I am trying to live right. Here I am trying to put God first. I'm trying to do everything right. But it seems like everything's falling apart. I just don't understand. I don't comprehend. I just don't know. God, what's going on?" God gave me a little bit of insight. God turned the light on, and God helped me in order to help you. If you listen with your heart today, I'll try to show what God showed me through His Word. Those things happen: sickness, death, marriage problems, job, accidents. Life just happens. But you know what? I'm glad just things just don't happen. I'm glad it's in the providence of God. I'm glad it's in His hand. There's nothing that comes into my life that He doesn't know about. There's not one problem, not one trial, not one heartache, not one heartbreak, not one headache that comes into my life God's not unaware of. Everything that comes into my life has to bypass Him first before it gets to me. And if we ever see the side of that, it'll make life a lot better. There's nothing I'm facing that God don't know what I'm dealing with. There's nothing I'm going to face that He doesn't know what's going to happen. I'm glad He sees both sides of the fence. He knows ahead of me. He knows behind of me. He knows my surroundings. I'm glad I can trust somebody like Him. But when those things happen, I don't know about you, but it seems like the devil shows up when those things happen. Whenever the bad news comes, the devil just so happens just pops in, and our flesh starts to question. Our mind starts to wonder, well, you know, am I even saved? Am I even in the will of God? Am I doing what's right? God, I just don't understand. I don't know about you, but I'll just be honest with you. Sometimes those things happen to me, and I believe they happen to you. Do y'all know what I'm talking about? Have y'all ever been there before? Say amen if you know what I thought so. But you know what? That just doesn't happen. It's not just something that we face with. Did you know that's been happening all throughout the Bible? Let me read you this. I'm getting ready to get my scripture. I told you I won't be long. Let me look at my watch. I know some people quote me. I believe Kim, she quoted me before saying I won't be long. It won't feel as long to me. Hopefully it won't feel as long as you. It's about 5 to 8. So y'all write down the time if y'all are taking notes. But listen to this. In Psalm 73, this is not the message, but a little thing. This is a psalm of Asa. He wrote several psalms, stopping at Psalm number 83. And time again, he was focused upon what was going on, the wicked prospering. And that whole chapter in 73 about the wicked prospering, the wicked building up, the wicked, everything's going right for those that live in wicked. I mean, they got their tents, they got the money, they got their gold, they got the health, they got their influence. Everything's going right for them. Meanwhile, us, they say, he's living for God. It seems like we're just staying afloat. We're just struggling by. We're just barely making it through. And he starts saying, I see them. Look at verse number 7. It says, their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than their heart could wish. He said, they got more than enough. They're not struggling with money, health, wealth, whatever they have. They got everything. Meanwhile, I'm trying to live for God. I'm here in the temple, and I'm just trying to stay afloat. I just don't understand. Look at verse number 12. It says, behold, these are the ungodly which prosper in the world. They increase in riches. But look at verse number 17. He says, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood. Then understood I their end. He said, I got my eyes off of everything. I got my eyes on the world, and I saw them prospering, them flourishing. They're growing fat with riches and goods, and everything. And I'm looking back saying, God, how can that be? He said, then I went to the house of God. Then I heard from heaven. Then I got my eyes on the real thing. And see, it's just temporal. All those things are going to waste away. All them things are going to burn with fervent heat. They're not going to last forever. He said, but the things I'm touching, the things I'm doing, my riches, they're going to last eternal. They're not going to burn one day. I'm going to turn around and give them back to Him. He said, then I understood. And then he said he was foolish. He was ignorant. He said, you know what? Later on in the end of verses, number 25 and 26, he said, who have I have in heaven but thee? He's my heart. He's my shine. He's everything. My God's my portion. He said, they have all the riches in the world, but you know what? I'll just take God. That's all I need. He's my portion. He's my supplier. He's my shield, my sword, my son. He's everything to me. He's my Savior. And the world, they can have the riches and the fame and the glory and prosperity. I'll just take God. in Psalms number 84, I believe in verse number 17. I ain't got it wrote down, but y'all correct me if I'm wrong. I believe it's over there in 84. The sons of Korah, they was writing that thing. And verse number 17, I believe it says that, I'll just flip over there. It's just a couple pages. Like I said, I'll just have to preach a little bit faster to get through the message. But like I said, I won't be long. 84:10, it says, for a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in tents of the wickedness. I can't help but think as Asa's out there looking, all the world's prospering, they got the riches and everything. And hey, you know what he's saying? He said, I went to the sanctuary, I went to the house of God, the temple, and I started to focus on that. He said, and God flicked the light on, and I saw that everything's temporal, and I'm just going to stick with God. And he said, they can have the world, they can have the riches, and they can have all their tents filled with goods, and all those riches and gold and silver and iron and all those precious rubies, they can have their tents full. And I'll just stay here and be a doorkeeper for my God. They can keep their tents and they can keep their wickedness. I'm just going to stay here in the doorkeeper, and I'm just going to be a worker for God till He comes. You know, I'm glad I can say I can relate to Him. The world, they can have their riches, they can have the world, they can have their fame. I'll just take God. That's more than enough. He's more than enough. Brother Kenny, I believe your brother preached. He's more than enough. I'm glad that He is. I said all that to say that if we get our eyes on the world, we'll start thinking, man, they're doing better than us. But you know what? That's just a drop in a bucket compared to eternity. Amen. You know, I'm glad that one day we won't have to worry about who's got more. One day we won't have to worry about what this and what that, but we'll be focused upon Him and centered around the throne. I said all that to say this. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. When you find your place, please stand and we'll honor the reading of God's Word. All that was appetizer. We're getting ready to get to the four-course meal. Depending on time. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, beginning in verse number 7, it says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations they were given, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ might rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities, in persecutions and distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." I'll stop reading right there. With God's help, I want to preach a message, and I won't be long on being thankful for the thorns. Being thankful for the thorns, let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, God, thank You. Be seated. But as I began studying and thinking on this, about being thankful for the thorns, look at verse number 7. It says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh." We know this thorn in the flesh, it was given by God. God placed this thorn in Paul's life. It didn't come from Satan. It says it was a messenger of Satan. It wasn't from Satan, but it was from God, which was a messenger of Satan. And I'm getting ahead of myself, but that thorn was placed by God. I'm glad that whatever is in our life is placed there by God. There's nothing that happened by accident. There's nothing that just happened by circumstances. Nothing's in our life just by coincidence. Whatever you're facing with tonight, God knows exactly what you're going through. God's the one that brought it out there. I can't help but think them disciples, when they got on that ship, He said, "Let us go into the other side." They got on that boat, and you know what? Jesus went away, and He went into the hinder parts. He went asleep, and He was in there asleep on the, resting. The storm came up. They went in there and said, "Master, care us not that we perish." He said, "Don't you even care about us? We're out here, and you're down there sleeping, and we're getting ready to perish. Don't you care about us?" And He got up, and He walked out there, and He rebuked the wind, and He said, "Peace, be still." And they just laid down at His feet. He said, "You know what? Ye of little faith." He said, "I went out there, and I calmed the seas." I'm glad that He can calm the seas and the storms in our life. Whenever the lightning picks up and the storms pick up and it starts brewing, I'm glad He can walk upon the waters still today. And even though we can't see Him, even though they're not physical waters, I'm glad sometimes they're spiritual waters. Whatever storms come our way, He can walk out there, Brother King, just say, "Peace, be still." And you know what? He can calm the storms in our life. So, preacher, how do you know that? He calms storms in my life. And I'm thankful that He has the power to do that. He said, "I have all power in heaven and earth." He said, "I can do anything," and I'm so glad that He still can do everything. Amen. I tell you, those thorns that are in our life, they're placed there by God. If we ever realize that the thorns in our life, they're there by God. I said earlier, whatever trouble, whatever trial, whatever thorn, whatever heartbreak, whatever heartache, whatever heart, whatever headache that's in your life tonight, God knows exactly about that. There's nothing in your life that God don't know. There's nothing you're ever going to face that God's not aware of. I tell you, He already knows the beginning from the end. He knows how everything's going to work out. He knows exactly what He's going to do. I can't help but think last time the pastor preached, he preached on the little lad having, you know, a couple fish and a couple hush puppies and all that. And he said, you know, what are these among so many? He said, make the men to sit down. The Bible says he knew himself what he was getting ready to do. He already knew what he was getting ready to do. He said, y'all just sit down and you're getting ready to see a miracle. You're getting ready to see something. You're getting ready to see my power. You're getting ready to see something on display. I'm glad he knows what he's getting ready to do. You know, so many times in my life I think, well, God, I just don't understand. God, I just don't know. God, it feels like we're dead end. God, I just don't know which way to turn. He said, you just hang on. I'm getting ready to do something. I'm getting ready to show up in your life just when you need it. I'm going to flick the light on. I'm going to show you exactly. I'm going to light it up. I'm going to lead you. I'm going to lead you down the right path. And I'm glad He can still do that. So, preacher, how do you know that? Because He still does that for me. I'm glad there's nothing in my life that He doesn't know about. I'm glad there's nothing I'm facing that He doesn't know about. You look at Job. That's a good example in the Bible. There's nothing that Job faced God didn't allow happen. In fact, He had a hedge about Job and everything that he had. So, preacher, how do you know that? Go back and read your Bible. It says whenever they presented themselves to God, Satan came with them also. You know, the devil and Satan, they had a little talk, didn't they? He said, what have you been doing? I'm summarizing. This is a Shoemate version summary. He said, well, what have you been doing? The devil said, I've been doing whatever I want, walking up and down the earth, going to and fro. And then God said, well, have you considered my servant Job? He said, there's none like him in all the earth. One that feareth God, escheweth evil. He's perfect. There's no one like it. You know what Satan said? How can I? You got a hedge about him and all that he has and everything he touches, everything he possesses. You got a hedge about him and his things. How can I mess with a man that has a hedge of God about him? And God said, well, I'll take that thing down. He said, the only reason he blesses you is because of that hedge. God said, no, it ain't the hedge. I see his heart. I see, well, I see what he honors me. He said, I'll take the hedge down. You can do anything to him. Don't kill it. We can see the devil threw everything in his arsenal at him. What happened? He didn't blaspheme God. He said, God giveth and God taketh away. Blessed be the name of God. And all those, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly with his lips. He kept his integrity. He kept his walk. You know what? God will do the same for us. When those bad things happen, no, God knows exactly where you're at and what you're going through. And he knows how to get you through this situation. I'm glad whatever we face, God knows about. Look at verse number 8. It says, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. Can I tell you, number one tonight, I've got a few things. Number one, thorns will produce pain. Did you know that? Thorns will produce pain. Look at what Paul was dealing with. He said, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. You know what that word buffet means? Some of y'all read that and you think, that's buffet. No, it's not a buffet. That's a different word. It's buffet. That means to just to pound, to hit, to strike with fists. I mean just to pound, knock down, drag out. That's exactly what Satan was doing, a messenger of Satan. That was what he was doing to Paul. I mean, can you imagine everywhere you go, waking, having your own personal demon following you around, just everything you do, just keep on hitting you. No doubt that caused pain, that caused grief, that caused trouble in Paul's life. Paul was bothered by that. Paul didn't want that. I know it wasn't a physical thorn in Paul's life, but have you ever been out there cutting a rose bush or something? I've helped my dad, and you get a thorn. I mean, you just touch that thing, oh. I mean, you just barely touch it, and it brings pain. You know why? Because it's a thorn. It's not supposed to be there. It's buried into the flesh. It's hurting the flesh. It's causing pain on the flesh. And you know what this thorn was doing in Paul? It was causing pain to his flesh. It was troubling him. He wanted it removed. But you know what? Paul was hurting. Paul was being buffeted. That messenger of Satan, wherever he went, just kept on getting hit. Everywhere he turned, it was right there with him. It followed him. It was hurting him. And you know what? I'm going to say this. I talked to Preston before, and he said, if you say that, you better explain yourself. And don't give me any crazy looks. Let me explain myself. Just because it's not good doesn't mean it's not God. Just because it's not good doesn't mean it's not God. I tell you, some things, whenever things happen in our life, we think, oh God, that hurts. That don't feel good. God, I don't understand what you're doing. You're turning up the heat. I don't like this. God, take me out of this situation. God, remove this burden. God, take this away from me. I don't want to experience it. I don't want to walk through this valley. God, I just don't like it. Remove it. Make it smooth sailing. Make it the mountaintops. God said, no, we're going to have to go through the valley. I tell you, sometimes God allows those bad things to come our life. It's bad because our flesh don't like it. Our flesh, it heartaches and heartbreaks and tears and all those troubles. We don't want to deal with that. We don't want grief. We want the easy way. But you know what? It's during those valleys, during those times of trials and tribulations and troubles that come our way, that God makes us and molds us into the man and the woman that we need to be for Him. Right. And you know what? You ain't going to get that from the mountaintop. Sometimes the best lessons learned in life is down in the valley. You know, because it's in the valley that you grow. It's in the valley that you count on God to get you through it. Whenever you can't do it yourself, you throw it upon God, and God gets you through it. Amen. You know why? Because you can't say in the end, it was me that did it. You have to say, it wasn't me. I couldn't even do anything. I couldn't even lift my head. I couldn't even lift my finger. It was all God that got me through that. I tell you, He'll do it today. He's done it for me, and He'll do it for you. Thorns will produce pain. I tell you, Paul didn't want that. Paul wanted that removed. So much that he asked God three times, Lord, you remove it. Lord, you remove it. God, take it away. God said, no, I'll do something better. I'll give you grace to get through it. Thorns will produce pain. Number two tonight, thorns will purge pride. Did you know that? Thorns will purge pride. Thorns, those things that God put in our sight, those things that God allows to come into our life, He'll do away with your pride. I tell you, I mean, it will take the winds out of your sails. I mean, it'll show how weak and how feeble and how frail you actually are in life. Why? Because if we realize we're nothing, we don't have our own strength, we don't have our own energy, we don't have anything, it all comes from God. Amen. I tell you, Paul said twice, look at verse number 7. It says, unless I should be exalted above measure. Look at the end of verse 7. It says, lest I should be exalted above measure. You know what he's saying? He said, this thorn was put into my side. This thorn was allowed to come into my life by God. God Himself put this thorn in my life. Yes. To keep me humble, to keep me low, Amen. To keep me usable. He said, if not, all the things that God's using me, God's showing me, the revelations through the abundance God has allowed me to see and partake and be a witness of. He said, I'll get exhausted. I'll get lifted up. I'll get puffed up. I think of myself to be something. Bob says, if any man take heed lest he fall, for him to be something. You know what Paul said? God allowed that thorn to get put in my side so I keep low, to keep humble, to keep usable. And you know what? It'll take all that pride out of you, because whatever it was, it kept Paul low. It kept Paul humble. It kept Paul usable. It kept Paul looking to God instead of looking to himself. Because you know what? If Paul wouldn't have that thorn, you know what Paul would have done? He'd said, that was me. I'd done that work. It was me. He'd allowed himself to get worked up. Himself would get the spotlight because of his insufficiency, because of his weaknesses, and because of his just frailty. He couldn't do anything because he pointed to God saying, God, you don't have to do it. I can't. Amen. That thorn came into his life. He got rid of all his pride. Yeah. Let me tell you this. The Bible says in James chapter 4, verse number 6, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace unto the humble. James 4:10 says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Uh-huh. Matthew 23, verse number 12 says, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. You know what 1 Peter 5:6 says? Humble yourselves, therefore, unto God, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Mm-hmm. Said all that to say this. You can write down those scriptures. Paul could have exalted himself, and if he exalted himself, you know what God would have done? God would have brought him down low. Yeah. But you know what? In reverse, Paul humbled himself. Paul went down low, and you know what happened? God lifted Paul up high. What about you? Are you going to allow those things in your life to get you puffed up, worked up? You know what? If that happens, God will have to take you down low. God will have to obey. God will bring you down low. God will have to humble you. But you know, if we humble ourselves, God says, I'll lift you up in due time. Amen. I tell you, let's humble ourselves. Yeah. I know some people say, Lord, would you humble me? You know what? I want to learn to humble myself. I don't want the Lord to have to humble me. It could take anything for him to humble me. I know he's our heavenly Father, and he ain't going to do anything bad to us. But you know what? Sometimes my dad did things to me whenever I wouldn't listen. I mean, I didn't like those things. You know what? It got my attention. Amen. You know, I don't want God to get my attention. In fact, I want to just watch to Him. I want to look to Him. He don't have to try to get my attention. He already's got it. I tell you, I want to be so focused, so consumed on Him, that He's not going to have to snap His fingers. He's not going to have to say my name. He's going to have to look at me. He's just going to have to make eye contact with me, BJ. I don't know about you, but that's one of the things I like when I talk to people. Eye contact. When they look at me, I know that I got their attention. You know what? I believe whenever we're looking to God, I know we can't sin, but you know what? I think that He just looks at us. He already knows we got it. He got our ear. But you know what? I'd hate for Him to have to snap His finger. I'd hate for God to get our attention, for us to actually look at Him. Instead, let's always be looking to Him. He can just look at us and give us the directions on which way to go, and we'll go. I'll tell you, thorns will produce pain. Thorns will purge pride. Thirdly, tonight, thorns will produce prayer. Did you know that? Thorns will produce prayer. You know what Paul did? He said, I consulted thrice. He said, I went before God. Lord, you take care of this thorn. God, would you remove this thorn? Lord, remove this thorn. You think about Paul, how much of a prayer warrior he must have been for the power of God to be upon him. For him to preach and go all over the place. I mean, I'm nothing. I don't have much of a prayer life, but I try to pray. But can you imagine a preacher like Paul? I mean, all them sayings. I mean, you read about what he's done. He said, of Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes, save one. I've been shipwrecked and hungry and naked in perils of the deep and on countrymen. And then, I mean, time and time again, he's been through all this. You think about what all he's went through, how much he's learned to pray. And you know what? This thorn that God put in his side taught him more about prayer, I believe, than anything that he's went through before. Why? Because it was hurting him. He wanted it removed. That's something he wanted. But you know what? God didn't answer that prayer, did he? He said 3 times. That proves if we pray for things, it's not wrong to pray for things. You know, God might not answer that prayer. You know what? It's not wrong to go back. Look at Jesus. He said, Father, be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. You look, how many times did he pray? Didn't he pray 3 times? How many times did Paul pray? He said he consulted the Lord thrice, that it might be removed. God said, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do something better. I'm not going to remove that thorn. I'm going to give you grace to go through that trial. I'm going to give you grace to overcome that. And you see in that thorn in your side that's producing pain, that's producing torment, that makes you can't go, I'm going to give you the grace to go on. I'm going to give you the energy to go on. I'm going to give you the strength, the energy, and the power you need to accomplish what you're going through. Amen. I tell you what, thorns in your life, you think, God, I can't go on. God, it's just too hard. It's just too much trouble, too much heartbreak. I just can't go on. I just don't know what I'm going to do. I tell you, it might be the thorn that God put in your side to allow you to see how weak you are, in return to see how strong he is. Because you know what? Paul said, in my weakness, then I am strong. Because it's not me, it's him. I know I'm limited. I know I'm weak. I know I can't. But when I'm weak, he's strong. When I can't, he's able. When I don't understand, he knows. Paul said all these things. I'm glad. He said, therefore, I'll glory in my infirmities. He said, I'll glory in them things. Why? That the power of God, the power of Christ might rest upon me. He said, because those other things, whenever I'm weak, then I'm strong. Because it's him doing the work through me. It's him, his energy. It's his grace. It's his strength. It's not mine. Paul said, this thing's out of my hands. I give it to God. And he's able to get those 3 things. How do you think Paul prayed? You think he just went through like a morning prayer or a good night prayer? Lord, this thorn hurts me. Would you remove it? Amen. I believe he prayed like Jesus did in the garden. I believe he just, just poured everything out. I believe he was face down, in the dirt, sand, whatever it might be. I believe he stayed there for hours. I believe he agonized. I believe he begged and pleaded and, just everything. Poured his heart out before God. Saying, God, this is hindering me. God, this is hurting me. It's hurting the ministry. God, I can't do what you want me to do with this thorn. It didn't get removed. Can you imagine going to God the second time, pouring your heart out? God, I know I prayed before, and God, I answered this. God, I really need this. God said, nope. Then a 3rd time, God didn't say no, because if God said no, I believe Paul would have picked up and carried on. You know what? He went a 2nd time. He went a 3rd time. After that, you know what? He accepted it as God's will. He said, all right, God. He said, you know what he said? Look in your Bible. In verse number 8, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, listen to what he said. He didn't say, no, Paul, that thorn's dead. It's going to stay there. Listen to what he said. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. Amen. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. He said, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Hallelujah. He said, when you can, I can. Right. When you're not able, I'm able. Right. When you think you can't go on, I can carry you. Whatever you're going through, I'm enough. Paul, I can get you through it. Just because you can't don't mean I can't. Paul, you're limited, but I have unlimited resources. Paul, you can't do it, but I can. And I want to. Paul, you just trust me. Paul, I know it hurts. I know you're unable. Paul, I know you think you can't go on. It hurts you and you just don't understand. But you know what? That's why I'm here. That's why I'm God. And you know, it's because of those thorns that we can trust God to get us through life. Because you know what? There's never been a problem. Why would he ever turn to God to get us through it? It's during those troubles and those trials and those thorns that God puts in our life. Those little bumps that we don't expect coming, whether it be cancer, the disease, or death, or job losses, or those things that just come our way that we don't like. God's allowed those things to come into our life. That way we can be more focused upon him, realizing, hey, I can't do this. God, I just don't know. It's out of my hands. I don't understand. There's nothing I can do, God. He said, that is exactly where I want you. So you can focus upon me. So you can look to me. so I can open up the windows of heaven and pour out grace. And my grace is sufficient. My grace will be enough. It will get you through it, whatever situation it might be. My grace is sufficient. And whenever you're weak, I'm strong. Whenever you can, I can. Whenever you're unable, I have the resources. I can get you through anything. I'm glad that God can get us through anything, whatever we're going through. Whether it be through a loss of a loved one, a loss of a job, whether it be cancer, whatever it might be, God can get us through it all. Amen. I'm glad there's not one trouble, one trial that God can't meet the need. I'm glad He's able to do it. The Bible says He's able to do it above and beyond. I think whatever we think or ask, He's able to do that. I'm glad that's the God we serve. Amen. These thorns will produce prayer. Yeah. I tell you, whenever we can't, God can. Whenever we're not able, He is. Those thorns will drive us to our knees. Whenever we can't carry the burden, whenever we can't go on, whenever we think we're going to crumble under the pressure, we can turn to God and say, God, I can't. You know what? That's what God really wants out of us. God allows those thorns to come in our life. I mean, when we think we can just pull our hair out, we just don't know what to do. God says, that's exactly where I want you. You look to me, you turn to me, you ask of me, and I'll do it. I'll be sufficient for the need. I'll meet it time and time again. You know what? That faith is being put to the test, what we have. And God meets that need. We turn around and look. And you know what? We can't claim the victory in ourselves. We said we got the victory through Him. It was Him that brought us through it. He's the one that did it. Yeah. And then whenever something else comes in our life, you know what we do? We look back on the past accomplishment that God brought us through. And we think, man, if God can do it that, God can do it again. If God did it for him or her, God will do it for me. He's no respecter of persons. You know what? That's how life goes. Each time, little by little, God's allowing those things to come to our life, those speed bumps, to allow our faith to be tested. That way He can mold us and make us in the man and woman that we need to be. Amen. I think about Abraham. Whenever God asked him to sacrifice his son, He said, Abraham, take thy son, thy only son Isaac, and get up and I'll show you a place to offer him. You know what? He didn't ask him that big trial. That was a trial of his life. That was the big thing in his life, the biggest thing. He didn't just come out of the blue and say, little by little, they progress. He said, get up and I'll show you a land. You know what? He obeyed. Those little steps, those little trials led up to that big trial. You know, trials is not temptation. Trials, those things, those are testing. God allows us. They're not to hinder us or hurt us, but they're allowed to help us, to mold us, to make us Amen. To what we need to be. God doesn't want to see us crumble and fail and, I mean, just wash up and die and have no joy and don't have the victory and just be discouraged and cry and, I mean, just walk around with our head down. In turn, God's allowing those things, those emotions are real. And those things happen, but it's during those emotions, those times that we just feel like giving up, that the inner man says, you know what? We can count on God during this time of hurt, during this time of trouble, when the flesh is weak. The Spirit's trying to draw us to God, to allow Him to pick us up and carry us. I tell you, that's the thing we deal with. We deal with our flesh and emotions, our mind. That's a battleground for Satan, is our mind. Because you know what? Because the mind is connected to the heart, and the heart's connected to your mouth. Did you know that? I studied that, and that's what God showed me. The more you think on it, the Bible says, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are holy, whatsoever things are good or poor. He said, think on these things. All those things can be related back to Christ. Christ is all those things. He's of good report. He's holy. He's true. He's all those things. But if we think on all those good things, if we think on the Word of God, you know what? Our mind is constantly, I mean, just thinking on all those things that are holy, all those good things, all those holy things. You know what? There's not much of things to get in our mind. You get infiltrated that we're thinking on the world. So therefore, if we're always thinking about God, if we're always praying, we're always thinking about the things of God, the heart of God, the mind of God, and all those things, the Word of God, those things are going to seep down into our heart. And it's going to fill our heart up. And you know what the Bible says? For the abundance of the heart, what happens? The mouth speaketh. So whatever we think will soon penetrate our heart, and our heart gets full. If room, whenever our hearts get full, our mouth starts to open, and whatever in our heart comes out. That's why if you ever met somebody and all they're consumed about is the world, they're all consumed about money, 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 money. And I mean, trying to make an extra dollar, that's what they're consumed of. Why? Because that's what they've been thinking about. They've been thinking about the stock market. They've been thinking about the paycheck. They've been thinking about this and that. I mean, it could be for anything. It could be for shopping. It could be for football, baseball, basketball, whatever it is. I mean, that's all they think about. That's all they talk about. That's what their heart's full of. But if you've been around somebody, I know it's probably rare, but all they do is talk about God. All they do is talk about the things of God, the heart of God, the mind of God, the Word of God. I mean, all those things. It's always spiritual. Why? Because that's what their heart's full of. You know why their heart's full of that? Because their mind's been thinking on that. You know what? So goes the mind, so goes the heart, so goes the mouth. The Bible says, for out of those things you can know a man. Why? If bitter water and sweet water don't come from the same fountain. Can I tell you, it's going to be one or the other. Amen. You know what comes out your mouth will examine your heart. And if you want to examine your heart, examine your thoughts. You know, that's why we need to put that helmet on. that we guard our thoughts, because that's the battleground. That's what Satan, I didn't mean to get off on all that. But these thorns will produce prayer. Did you know that? I'm glad that sometimes when things come in our life, it drives us to prayer. Number four tonight, and I'm almost done, thorns will prompt praise. Did you know that? Those thorns that God put in our life, He'll get the praise out of those thorns. You think we're preaching? I don't understand that. Those bad things, those hurt and trials and tribulation that comes in our life, how is God going to get the praise? Look back in the Scripture. He said, and He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecution and distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. I tell you, it's during those prayers that we get to see God's power displayed on us. It's during those troubles and those trials. When we can't, God can. When we think we're going to crumble, God picks us up. God puts us back together. He gives us the energy. He gives us the strength. He gives us the motivation and the determination to go on and carry on. And it's all because of Him. I think about the great heroes of the faith that God allowed those things to come in their life. God allows those thorns in their life, and it drives them closer to God. Can I tell you, those thorns will either drive you away from God or drive you to God. It determines on how you let them things go. And you know what? We all have thorns. Your thorn's not my thorn. My thorn's not your thorn. But you know what? The purpose of the thorn is the same for all of us. Whatever it is, it's to draw us closer to God. Keep us humble. Keep us low. Keep us usable. Keep our eyes focused upon Him. Seeing how insufficient we are, how limited we are, and see how all-sufficient and all-powerful He is. He can get us through anything if we just see. It's to prompt praise. I tell you, God's power is displayed in the lives of the weak people. I tell you, God's displaying His power in all those weak people. I think about them. I mean, great heroes of faith. I read about D.L. Moody and Charles Spurgeon and Hyman Appleman. I mean, think of all them great preachers. I mean, they did a great work. God allowed, if you go back and study each one of them, they had a great problem, a great trial, a great something happened in their life that just broke the heart. And in turn, it kept them close to the cross. It kept them close to God. And God used them in a mighty way. I can't help think I think it was J. Harold Smith. Steve, you correct me if I'm wrong after church, but I believe he allowed, he said he wanted to preach this message. He wanted God to use him all over the world and all over the nation. He wanted to be used of God by a mighty way. And in turn, you know what happened? God took one of His children. God allowed an accident to happen, a tragedy to happen, and called her out of this world. And he was praying. He was brokenhearted. He was discouraged. He didn't think he could go on. You know what God told him? He said, I allowed that thorn, I allowed that thing to happen, that trial to come into your life to keep you humble, to keep you close to me, to keep you broken, to keep you relying on me to get you through life. And you know what? Because he was so heartbroken, he relied on God to carry him. You know what God did? Because he relied on God to carry him through that, God carried him throughout the whole world, throughout this whole nation, preaching the Word of God, filling him up. Why? Because he allowed that thorn to be benefited. He allowed God to use that thorn for His honor, for His glory. Because He was used, God got the glory. God got the praise. You know what? Millions came to Christ because of that thorn. But it's untelling what that thorn might cause you. But you know what? God will get the praise and God will get the glory. You think about the blind man in John chapter 9. They said to Jesus, did this man sin or did his parents sin? Jesus said, neither one of them sinned. He said, but my power, my glory will be displayed through this problem. You know what? Those thorns in your life, God's going to get the glory. God's going to get the praise if we just let Him. If we can see our weakness, we can see His ability. Lastly, and I'm done, number five, thorns always have a purpose. Did you know that? Thorns always have a purpose. They don't just happen, but yet they show how weak we are and how strong He is. Those thorns have a purpose. It's to show how weak we are. It's also to show maturity. How we can get closer to God, how we can mature and become the Christian that we need to be. I tell you, our faith is tested, and in turn we grow. We grow closer to God. He allows our faith to be tested, and we trust Him. He gets us through it, and in return, it makes us a stronger Christian. I think about elementary school. We used to do pottery and all that. We take a thing, we fold it, make it, and put our initials on it. We paint it and all that. You know what the teacher does? She went back there and put it in a big old, I don't know, some type of fire. Put it in there, closed the door, came back the next day, and we got it out there. I mean, it's hard as a rock. Most of the time, I'd drop mine, and it'd shatter, but because I wasn't careful. But you know what? It wasn't until she put it in the fire, it hardened. It became usable. I mean, if you wanted to use a pot or, you know, make a cup, it had to go into the fire before it ever be put to test. Why? Because during that fire, it's molded and made into what the potter wanted it to be. You know, God's allowing the same things happen in our life. He's molding us and making us. But he's going to have to put us in the fire before we ever can be out there and be put to use for what we was intended to do. C.H. Spurgeon said this, "Trials teach us what we are. They dig up the soil and let us see what we're really made of." You know what? Listen to this. It says, "A gem cannot be polished without friction, nor man perfected without trials." I tell you, it's those thorns that come in our life that mold us and make us into the man and the woman that we need to be. I tell you, are you thankful for the thorns in your life? Why? Because they're driving you closer or they're driving you farther. They're either making you better or bitter, but it's up to you. Those thorns have a purpose. And lastly is this, those thorns have a purpose that we might experience God's grace. Look back in the scripture. It says, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee." If it wasn't for those thorns, Paul would know nothing about the grace to overcome that. But you know what? Because of that thorn, Paul poured his heart out for God. And God said, "Paul, I'm not going to remove that thorn. I'll do something better. I'll open up, I'll take the key and I'll open up the windows of heaven and I'll pour you out grace. I'll just open up the windows and I just flood out grace to let you overcome that, to give you power, to give you strength, to give you energy, to allow you to accomplish that which you can't do within yourself." And in return, whenever it's all said and done, we look back and say, "God, it wasn't me, it was you. God, I couldn't even walk. God, I couldn't even think. God, I couldn't do anything. But it was because of you and your grace that brought me through this. I can see the rainbow. I can see the sun shine again. I can smile again. Not because of me, because of you." And you know what? It's those thorns that we have in our life. As we stand all over the house tonight, as the piano player comes.